Great is the Lord, he is holy and just, by his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord, he is faithful and true, by his mercy he proves he is love.
Welcome. You've been listening to a Michael W. Smith song, Great is the Lord. I'm not that Michael Smith. I'm J. Michael Smith, pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Sullivan, and I am delighted that you are joining me for this Sunday worship podcast for January 25th, 2026. Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany Day. It is also Big Snow Sunday. And this online presentation is especially designed for the Sullivan United Methodist Church and for the Mansfield United Methodist Church. Along with me, Pastor J. Wu Smith gives you our greetings. Both congregations have asked their members to stay indoors and stay safe today. So eavesdrop in on us now as we experience the words and spirit of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing, All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Amen.
Psalm 27 is one of those prayers that any of us might pray when things all seem to be coming apart and life is painful and heavy. The words of this psalm are metaphorical, poetic, and blunt. Whether the problems coming our way are from bad health, troubles that our loved ones are facing, or the news about the nation and the world that bombards us constantly, Psalm 27 has us covered. It helps us pour it all out before God. But it not only helps us vent, it also lifts us up with hope. Its words infuse us with confidence in a God who loves us and never forsakes us. Hear these words of Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in God's tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me. Answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
You alone are my heart's desire.
We have been listening to the song, As the Deer. As we prepare now to hear today's scripture reading, we open our hearts and minds as we experience the song, Ancient Words. Hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but love rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know now only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. God always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. Now, you might have already guessed by this scripture reading that the theme of this week's sermon is love. And this, while it's not in the hymnal, is one of my favorite songs about love. Oh my, where do I even start? Well, let me start with a big word, plasticity. Love has plasticity. It can bend, it can be reshaped, it can be useful. Love can twist and stretch and be tiny or big. Think of all the things that seem to be a part of love. We love chocolate, or we love sex, or we love to read. We love another person. We love grandma, or we love a granddaughter, or we love a spouse. We can love everything from peanut butter to God to a good fight. We can love ourselves, or we can love our church, or we can love our country, or we can love drag racing, or we can love dressing up as a drag queen. Love just seems to go with everything. In other words, it has plasticity. But let me throw this at you. Love also has its counterfeits. Sometimes we may think it's love, but it's not. We can be possessive of someone, but that's not love. Possessiveness is counterfeit love. We can be infatuated with someone, but that's not love. That's counterfeit. We can be incredibly attracted to someone and think we'll die if we can't stay with them forever, but that's counterfeit love. We can want to be with somebody so much and want to possess someone so much that we want to get inside of them. We want to take away their privacy. We want to know everything, see everything. We're nosy about every secret that that person has. We tear down all the borders. But that's counterfeit love. We can be addicted to something or someone, but that's not love. That's a mental problem. Another form of counterfeit love. Indulgence is counterfeit love. Codependence, not real love. Softness, a lot of times we like to think of love as being soft and fuzzy, but sometimes that's counterfeit love too, for real love sometimes has to be tough love. What then is the definition of love? If love has so much plasticity and so many counterfeits, how in the world shall we sort through it all to understand it better? How can we discover genuine love? How can we become more authentically loving? How can we know if somebody is loving us with a genuine love, or if what we're getting from someone is a form of counterfeit love? Well, I think the Bible is a good place to start in search of our definition. And there's no better writer on the subject of love than the Apostle Paul. His writings provide enough material on love to give us a master class on the subject. From his letter to the Romans, we are reminded that love fosters what is good, not what is evil. We are reminded from Romans 12 that love has traces of showing honor. Love has a bit of self-humility to it. Love is transparent in truthfulness in relationships. From that same chapter, we find that love means to live harmoniously with the people that we love. Love means sharing in mutual rejoicing or weeping. Genuine love pursues mutual peace and edification of everybody. And when we move over to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, Paul compares true love he contrasts true love with being condescendingly helpful to other people. A person who is condescendingly helpful to others is simply puffing themselves up. But genuine love means we are building the other person up. And then there is that whole love is passage. We just read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears everything that can happen in a relationship or in a community. And love just keeps hoping and hoping and hoping and never ends. Love, genuine love, can handle anything. And then Paul also reminds us in that famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 that there are signs that love may be counterfeit. If it's envious, not love. If it's boastful or arrogant, not love. If it's rude, not really love. If it's incurably irritable, whatever that is, it's not real love. And if it can't let go of wrongdoings, but just keeps remembering and keeps track of everything, it's counterfeit love. Now, if Paul is giving us words about love, Jesus gives us a picture of it. Jesus shows us that love means honoring the other person's free will. Jesus shows us that love always insists on forgiveness. Jesus shows us that love means submitting our own will to the needs of another person. Jesus shows us that love means gathering enough love and grace in our own lives, being loved and experience grace so much in our own lives that we will actually know what we're doing when we go to love someone else. Whether that love be in a marriage, a friendship, a family, a church, a neighborhood, or even love for a stranger, Jesus models it for us. So from Paul and from Jesus, we can pick up a few things about genuine love. Now, we also learn in the life of Jesus and in the writings of Paul, we learned that it is a violation of true love to insist that someone never change. We want them to be just as they are, or just as we want them to be in order to please us. It is a violation of love when we insist that another person surrender their will to ours. That's the opposite of love. Because to genuinely love someone is to nurture their growth, wherever that growth may lead, even if it's uncomfortable for us. Genuine love is to offer someone our undivided attention. It's counterfeit love to say that we love someone and yet we never bracket out the chatter of our own minds to truly pay attention to them. To genuinely love someone is to offer them our undivided attention with no ulterior motives. Genuine love involves feelings. Genuine love, when we have that, we feel gratitude, joy, we appreciate the various qualities that the other person has. Genuine love is the constant discovering of how we can be in service to the other person. To love someone is to remember that that person belongs to God, not me. Sadly, you know, I think we've all experienced this at some point or another, and sometimes many times, we cannot force other people to love us back. We cannot force someone we love to love us. And that's one of life's greatest struggles, one of life's greatest tragedies. Being loved back is not something we can demand or manipulate or force. That's how mysterious love really is. We can give it, but we cannot command it in return or shame someone into loving us. We can ask for it, as God asks for our love, but genuine love frees the other person to love back only as God and God alone gives them to love. Love, of course, is central to a church, to every church. As a church, in fact, we really only have this singular task, and that is to love God with all we have and to love our neighbors as we do ourselves. As a community of faith, our sole responsibility, once we have worshiped and glorified God, is to find every neighbor we can who doesn't have enough love in their life and see what we can do about it. We get the sense, as we read the writings of Paul and as we look at the life of Jesus, that every relationship problem we have, personal or even international relationship problem, every relationship hitch we have in this world is caused by a lack of love. And with Jesus, every prescription is simple. More love, more love, more love, genuine love, not the counterfeit kind. And thanks be to God for that big word, plasticity. Genuine love, God's love, shapes itself, twists itself, stretches itself, resizes itself, and adjusts itself to every human situation. And so we say today, for love, thanks be to God.
Though I may speak with greatest power and have the gifts to all inspire, and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless.
Thank you for joining in on this time of music, scripture reading, and the proclamation of the good news. Now, after the benediction, there will follow two songs, one to give us some inspiration as we go out into the week to carry out the love of Jesus to everyone we meet. And the other song, well, let's just say that I put that in there in order to help blast away the cold and weariness that may be settling inside of us in the middle of this snowstorm. We go now in the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle.